Blog Talk Radio.
Changing Steps. Today we have the privilege of interviewing Dr. Marie-Josée Daïs. I'm not sure if I pronounced your surname correctly. You can correct me.
Yes, fine.
And I'll just introduce her with a little bit of information, and she is going to treat us to telling us more about herself and her work in the play therapy field and her amazing center in British Columbia. So Marie was born and educated in France. And she is, get ready for it, audience members. There's a long list here. She's a registered art therapist, a certified expressive therapist, a registered play therapist supervisor, a certified child psychotherapist and play therapist supervisor with our Canadian Association for Child and Play Therapy. She's also a registered clinical counselor and holds diplomas in family therapy and EMDR, and has worked for over 35 years as a counselor and adult and child psychotherapist. And for the past 25 years, she's been teaching internationally therapeutic methods that she has developed that we're going to hear about today, particularly in the field of abuse, trauma, and loss. And she's established a beautiful, amazing expressive art center in Parksville, British Columbia, and agreed to talk about her services and program and philosophy and passion for working with children and families with us today. And I have to tell you, I have encountered it over the years a few people that have visited your center and trained, and just their eyes light up when your name is said.
So, oh, how lovely.
Yes.
I like people's eyes to light up. It's always nice, isn't it?
Well, and I guess more importantly for me is when I hear about someone, obviously you have lots of education and training, but what really counts is your ability to connect with people. And that's what's most important in what we do. And you certainly obviously have that. I had the pleasure of being in a workshop with you at an Association for Play Therapy conference when it was in Toronto. And then wanted to grab you to say, let's have a cup of tea, but there just wasn't the opportunity. So I appreciate you joining us today. So I guess I have some questions, but I guess we could start off with perhaps you can talk a little bit about your center, and we'll see where what journey that takes us on. It's kind of like a sand tray. We'll see where we go.
I could talk about my center, which is, I had it built about 2 years ago. So it's not my first playroom.
No.
But it's a place where I see clients of all ages, so from very young children, age 2, to elderly people. 92 is my oldest client, so I like working with all age groups. And I wanted it to be a place where people could come and feel safe to connect both to their strengths and then their pain that needs to be, that they need to be, to learn to live with.
Absolutely.
I hear some funny sounds on the line.
Oh, I'm not sure what that is. Now I have to tell our listeners I am recording from my home office today, and I have 6 children. And they've all promised to try and be quiet for a few minutes, but it seems quiet on my end, so it just may be some static.
Okay.
That happens.
All right, as long as you can hear me.
Oh, you're wonderful. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was blessed to be able to see photographs of the playroom that you had built, and I was, maybe you could take our listeners on a verbal tour of they were coming to the door, what might they see?
Yes. Well, it's in process still, because for me the garden and the entrance is a very important part. So it starts from the time the person gets out of the car and comes through the entrance And I'm in the process of putting an archway, and there will be honeysuckle running right across. I will put different plants because the sight and the scent are so important, but also sound. So I will be putting in a in the entrance a water fountain so that you can hear that. So the whole process is there to help people relax and have the sense of being able to breathe, whether they think about it or not, which happens when you have beauty around you and harmonious sense impressions. So it would start in that way and go through a path. I like the metaphor of the path and going through the gateway. And then it will be going up the stairs. Well, it wasn't going to be upstairs, but I had to deal with the construction restrictions. So they will be going up the stairs, and there I will be with my co-therapists, who are two standard poodles. And sometimes they're with me, and then sometimes not, depending on, you know, what after I've spoken with people on the phone or I've had the intake with them, and we decide whether my co-therapist being there is better or not. And so they might be there by my side and saying hello. And then you would go in, and the first thing you would see is it looks like a kitchen area. And I have had a table made kind of, it's a kind of peachy pumpkin color in an oval shape where I sit there sometimes with couples or with some older children with a warm mug of tea. Or else sometimes I give them food if they're hungry before they start their session. And then you have on the other side, there's my art therapy area. And everything is contained inside either a natural wood color, like pine color wood. And so I have as much as possible my materials contained, because otherwise it would be too overwhelming, and then we can open things gradually. So on the first thing that you could open gradually would be the art therapy materials. So I have cupboards where they are in there, the paper and the paints and so on, the clay. And then you go a little further and you have the sand clay area, and they are also all covered behind curtains, and it's like a light peachy colored curtains, and they're made out of silk, so that when the person comes and opens the curtains, they can have that feeling of the softness of the silk. And very often children or adults will just put it across on their face or just gently soothe themselves. And then we open the sand trays, and I have three trays, and they each have different texture and color. And I like them to be covered because, again, not all of them will want to open it, and so we open one thing at a time. The figurines are in shelves in layers so that you can open gradually also. So it's all a process of opening gradually and then being able to close each one of those, so that the child or the adult doesn't get overwhelmed. And it gives me the flexibility to adjust to their needs, because from the very beginning, it's a matter of attuning myself to where they're at and just observing them to guide them to what they need. But the first thing would have been to help them breathe and feel more comfortable through, so that it's a very inviting kind of, again, light peach color on the walls as well, and there are skylights, so there is a lot of light. And the good part about being upstairs is I have a beautiful view, and I'm very spoiled. I have to tell you, I didn't always have the ideal playroom, but I'll keep taking you through my tour. Do you want me to continue?
Please. I'm imagining myself there with you. So thank you. Yes, please continue.
So I can continue?
Yes, please.
Okay. That would be great.
Okay. So then I continue, and if I go a little to the right of my sand play area, there is a little room, and that's where the dolls are. That's where there's a little table, and there are a lot of cloths on the ceiling that are also made of silk, and the colors are light lavender and peachy color, so that the children feel this is the room for the little ones that are usually under age 5, although I find that a lot of older children love to be in that room for some reason, and that's where they play house, basically. So that's where I would have the dolls. And again, my dolls are handmade, and so that they feel comfortable to the touch. And I try and have their clothes made out of velours and those different kinds of things, you know, so that the children can have some kind of experience of healing touch, especially for the ones who experience painful touch. Obviously, I'm always trying to give them a healing sense impressions as we go to hold, you know, whatever might come up as they could be triggered by some of the things, some of the materials that I have. Like, yeah, anyway. So I think you've seen that little room. And then we go back and we go to an area where on the right-hand side, I have a, it's more than a rocking chair. It's a sliding chair, and it's a light sage color. And I found it in a Toys R Us of all places, and it's the kind of chair that mothers use when they breastfeed. And when I saw that chair, I knew it belonged in my playroom. And I tell you that all age groups have sat in that chair, mother and child as well, and rocked. And you can even put your feet up and on a little stool that also kind of glides as well. So it's not so much rocking as gliding back and forth. And it's been amazing to have. My clients assume that I'm the one that's going to sit in it. And I say, no, 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 I sit in the hard chair across from you. So you're the one who's going to relax.
It's funny you should say that, because Dr. Betty Bedard Bidwell, who's also, I mean, we all know Betty in Canada, that she's an art therapist.
Yes, I know Betty.
Supervisor. And she said to me when I was blessed to spend some time with her for supervision, she said, you must have a rocking chair, at least one in your playroom. And I've always had one or two in each of my playrooms. And people gravitate towards it. It's very soothing.
It is very soothing. Now, before that glass chair, I had a rocking chair. And so that rocking chair goes in the little children's rocking room or in different areas. And sometimes if I have a couple, you know, the parents, like, they each get one anyway. But usually the mother gets the comfortable one. But I've often seen children, they pretend it's their throne, and sometimes they pretend they sit there with and drink from a baby bottle, you know, different things that they might do within that chair. It's a mixture of very young, being very young and yet mature. It's been really wonderful to have. Now, next to the rocking chair is the bed that my co-therapists have. They're very comfortable. And some children actually like it to be like their playroom, where they would curl up there and bring their toys to the bed, and that's where they'll work. So out of all my playroom, where my co-therapist, my dogs, is where they spend their time. Now, behind it is the area that's also underneath, some of it is underneath curtains, and on the side I have all my musical instruments. So for all the materials I have, I try to have things that can easily express the whole range of feelings. So in the paint, you have the whole range of colors, and you also have more closing and more opening, like a pencil all the way to, you know, finger paints. So with a musical instrument, I have some little bells all the way to the drums. And so I have a small one or two djembe drums, a tall African drums that's not, I'm not sure how to describe it. I have rain sticks and those kinds of things, and xylophones and those kinds of musical instruments that some children like to use. And then on the other side is my wood stove that's only is lit up with adults. I don't have it on, and I don't put it on if I'm going to have children. Mm-hmm. The having a natural heat is really been really wonderful. Sitting and looking at the fire while talking has been an incredibly healing thing I found for many people. There's something about the warmth of it. I sometimes have worked with children who have had problems with setting fires, older children who have setting fires, so it has been an opportunity to work with it in a healing way. And in a safe way, in a therapeutic way. Next to that is a big basket of different colored blankets that I've knitted. It's made with mohair wool, and it's of different colors, and so that they can wrap themselves in it, or that they can, it can be used like for, let's say, a big reddish blanket is being used to pretend that it's for the puppet theater, or it's being used for pretending that it's flames on the dollhouse, or it's being used to wrap themselves up. So I love the use of blankets and cloth of different textures and colors, because it allows both a lot of imagination and soothing at the same time, and it can be so many different things all at once.
Wow.
So, and it just gives the color and the life in the room. I also have felts. I use felted balls that I've made myself. And it's very grounding, the felting, with warm water and soap. So with older children or adults who have difficulty staying in their bodies, it's been really quite helpful. But they have to have enough focus that they can do it. So it's not something I use with everyone. But it's nice to throw back and forth and catch and experience this giving and receiving and this opening of the upper layer. What else? Next to it is I looked at the window, and I look into, I see I have bird feeders where the birds can come, and I look out onto the estuary, so it's more like trees. My garden has a pond with a little waterfall. It's quite beautiful. I was very lucky to find this spot. And when I'm done, I want to tell you, I'll tell you now, I started with a few pieces of cloth under a table and did very good sessions. And I've done terrible work in my beautiful playroom, so I'm sure. It really isn't dependent on this environment, but it's really nice to have. And I figured I've graduated that I can have it now. So
that's so lovely, because as you were talking at the end, I would like to ask you to share a few hints. But there is an area I saw in a photo which was a dollhouse within a cabinet.
Oh, yes, and I was going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
So in there, I have some things for sewing in that cupboard as well, because I use a lot of sewing. And then we'll move on, and then you look, and there's a stage. And the stage, I have curtains with silk also, the same color that I can open and close. And then on the stage, there's a corner that I call the cozy corner, with a lot of that silk curtains. And also cushions so that the children can soothe themselves. And there's some big, comfortable stuffed animals. Next to it is my dollhouse. And it's a beautiful dollhouse that I had handmade for me many, many years ago. And again, and in that dollhouse, again, it's always that principle that of healing inside out, outside in, that I've kind of taught over the years, where you, as you express some painful experiences, I try and have the surrounding heal it and give soothing and healing image that, so that it can hold the process and make it safer. So that my dollhouse has a lovely roof where a lot of, you know, stories have happened on the roof. And there are curves inside, and there are curtains that you can open and close, and it has a door. It's so you can actually close the dollhouse. And it used to have a key that has been lost in my last move, and so that the children would have the experience of unlocking the door. Now, I worked over the years with a lot of children who would have a key around their neck to get themselves at home, you know, back home. Did they used to call them latchkey children?
Yes, latchkey
kids,
yes.
Mm-hmm. So that was partially why I wanted to be able to lock and open. And then it has like a real chimney where you can drop things from down the chimney. And it's been one of their favorites. It's got a fire escape. And then I have it so that it has a basement as well as the main floor and an attic. The basement I found is a lot of things for some children who've been traumatized have happened in that basement. So I wanted them to have that possibility. And then now under the stage, I store a lot of things, and one of them being a dress-up box. So the children, we roll it out and they can play dress-up. I have some mirrors on the wall to the left that you can open and close. So it's all pine and it's closed so that you don't realize there's a mirror there, and then you can open it. Because for some children it's too much. Some people don't like to see themselves. And so we do that gradually. So everything is opening and closing. And then there is also a large box underneath that I use with children who have early traumas, like just after birth or before birth. And so it's a large wooden box that you can roll out, and children will pretend that it's a bed sometimes. Sometimes it's they will go in there, and I will bring a board to them, and from there they will do whatever they need to do. But I find they ask for that enclosure, and they have cushions around them, so they're comfortable, and they go back to whatever time and age they need to be. But they're being held in that, and then doing whatever other things they might want to do at the time. So what I'm trying to do is to work with all the different ages and areas that in a way that needs to come together. So, for instance, a child might have had traumas, let's say, as a baby, and will be there in the box surrounded by cushions and being very comfortable and cozy, but at the same time they're older and would like to be able to draw. Yeah. And so I will bring, or they might want to do something from the sanctuary. So I can actually roll them then to the sanctuary area. I put a big board across them. I have some trays, sand trays that I can lift and put on the board, and they can still work in that level as well. So, I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And I've been very, very blessed to have worked with Dr. Gisela Di Domenico. And her teachings sound very similar in terms of...
You know, I have been taught that her and I should meet because we're very similar. So
yeah.
I don't know her work because we used to always be presenting at the same time at conferences in the early days. And I haven't had the time... I haven't been to a conference for a while, so I never got to meet her after all. So I'm hoping I do someday.
I think you would have much to talk about.
Yes, we both have names that are a little bit different. That's what they told me we had in common.
Oh, I think there's more than that.
Yes.
But you had mentioned when you were initially speaking that you've had other playrooms that you, and this one has developed. Do you have any kind of tips or recommendations for new therapists on what they can be bringing into the playroom?
Yeah. Well, you know, so when I, you know, first started, you know, doing play therapy, there was no other play therapist that I knew of in Vancouver or in BC, although there might have been, but I had to bring things in gradually. And what I would say, you know, for I think it is important to own the space that you have, that you feel grounded and comfortable in it.
Yes.
So the first thing is to have just a few pieces, which I have with me when I travel and I'm not in my playroom and I teach, it's a few objects that make me feel good. And it can be a stone that I love or a plant that I like or something that, you know, that helps me feel good. And then I have my bag, and sometimes if I go to Vancouver, I might do that, where I have a few materials. So I would say to start with fewer things, but the things that you're going to use, know how to use them well,
that
you
wonderful.
Spend time with them. So if you're going to need even every figurine that comes into my playroom, I have spent time with. And I've chosen it very carefully. So it's important that you have a relationship and you know and you've tried and experienced different ways of using yourself, whatever it is that you're going to bring there. So less is better. And it's coming from me after I've described all this. Sometimes I dream of just finding a new young person to give it away to and then go traveling with a pack of toys on my back and see who I meet and help.
That's lovely. Well, we have two minutes left, if you can believe it.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And I would really love to hear. I know you have you publish and you have a book coming, a chapter coming out with something with Charlie Schaefer, and I also want to have time for people to hear how they can find out more about you. So if you could speak about the book, which is the name of the book, when is it coming out?
Well, the book is called, I think, Integrative Play Therapy, and it's edited by Sue Bratton, Drews, and Charles Schaefer, and I've been asked to write I've been teaching for 25 years. So usually, you know, you write and teach, right? You teach and write. And I like to go kayaking or walk and stuff, and writing is more difficult for me. So I finally allowed myself to do it this time because Sue who sent me an email and suggested I do so.
Did
do a chapter, and the chapter, it was very painful because it had to be so short. So you gather that, it was difficult.
Well, and
to
here
put
we
it.
Have, we only have 1 minute left. So how would people find out more about your center?
I think I think they would have to go. See, I forget the name of the editor. So I'm
but even in your website, it would be if they Googled the name of your center, they would the Express
Therapy. www.centerforexpressivetherapy.com.
Perfect.
Is my website. Is that all you needed?
That's great. And I'm going to say thank you. And we have to have you come visit us again because there's more. I would like to have a cup of tea with you, though.
So okay.
We'll have time for that. So we're going to end today, and thank you so much for coming.
You're very welcome.
Okay, blessings.
Bye.